Well, good morning. It's great to see all of you here this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I want to say a special hello to all those who may be joining us for the first time. We're glad that you're here this morning. We hope that you feel at home. For those of you who are joining us online, we're glad that you've made that decision as well. Just to let you know a little bit about where we've been in this series called Dealing with Difficulty. We're going to close it out today. And so if you've been here, you realize that we started in James chapter 1, where it says when you face difficulty, not if you face difficulty, but when you face difficulty. And some of you say amen to that. And sometimes when we go through those things, we kind of get in the middle of the when. Sometimes we kind of look around and go, you know what? I don't know if anybody gets what's going on in my life. And I'm convinced that there are a number of people here this morning, as good as you look, and there are a number of people joining us online who think, you know what? Nobody has any idea what's going on in my world. Nobody really gets it. Nobody understands what's going on in the when of my life. Matter of fact, you're even a little bit afraid maybe for people to know. And you wonder, does anybody understand? And I would simply say what the song just reminded us, there was and there is Jesus. You know, in John chapter 1, in the Message translation, it says, the Word became flesh and blood, talking about Jesus. And in the Message it says, the Word became flesh and blood, and I love this part, and moved into the neighborhood. When Jesus was born, do you think about, hey, he moved into the neighborhood? And today what I want us to do with that mindset of that Jesus was on this planet, he was in a neighborhood, he walked around, I want us to walk around just for a moment with Jesus. As you have that thought in mind, I don't know if anybody understands what's going on in my life. And the reality, let's just be real for this morning, the people around you may not know. But when you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood, one of the things you begin to understand is Jesus does understand. And when you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood, you can't forget the fact that as he's walking and he's having conversations, on more than one occasion, he looks at those people who are walking with him. He says, oh, by the way, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I and the Father are one. I am God. And so as you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood and you begin to understand what he faced and how it relates to what you face and how you're going to respond to the wind of difficulty in your life, because if it's not now, it will come. And we will all respond, and we will all deal with it in some way. I hope that we can say, well, there is Jesus. Well, if you've got your Bibles, in Mark chapter 3, we want to begin this short walk with Jesus. And in Mark chapter 3, and this is going to be good news to a lot of you, we realize that Jesus understands, and we're just going to talk about what Jesus gets here, that Jesus understands what it's like to have family issues. And if your family wasn't sitting with you right now, a lot of you go, amen to that. All right? But look at what happens in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, because we don't really think about Jesus this way. It says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered. So what's happened is Jesus is healing some people. There are people everywhere Jesus goes, there's a lot of people going. It says this crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Matter of fact, Jesus has a movement going on. How is his family going to respond? Verse 21 says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. That's not a good thing. For they said, he is out of his mind. Those of you who got siblings, has your mama ever told you, hey, go get your brother? Jesus had four brothers. Multiple sisters. I don't know what happened at home, and I don't know what the conversation is like, but they're watching Jesus, they're watching him teach, they're watching all these crowds follow their brother. And if you think this is weird, you just got to ask yourself, what would your brother have to do to convince you that he was the Messiah of the world? So you know, sometimes we don't think that way, we don't think family. What would your brother have to do to convince you that he was the one sent by God? Now get that for you. Let's just think about that. And if you don't have a brother, maybe a first cousin. What would your first cousin have to do to convince you that he was the one sent from God? And they're going, he's nuts. And we got to get him out because he's embarrassing us and he's making a fool of himself. And so they go to take charge of Jesus, and you and I who go through life and we deal with when, many of you here this morning are having some conflict with your family, and I don't know what it looks like, but your family doesn't get you. They don't get why you do what you do the way you do it. They don't understand why you have the value system. They don't understand why you're following Jesus. They don't understand, fill in the blank. There's a problem. And when you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood, you realize Jesus knows what it's like to have family issues. Look in verse 22 of that same passage in Mark chapter 3. It says, and the teachers of the law, these are the people who should know that the Messiah is coming. They should have been looking for the Messiah. They should have been pointing people to the Messiah. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem to see Jesus said of Jesus, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. In other words, the Messiah, Jesus, who has been sent by God with the purpose of redeeming mankind, the religious leaders of the day say, this guy is working for Satan. You see, Jesus not only understands what it's like to have family issues, but Jesus understands what it's like to be rejected and misunderstood. Many of you go through those kinds of things, and you can follow Jesus, and you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 6 and verse 66, Jesus is teaching, and after he's teaching, he says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And so there's people going, we're with Jesus, we're with Jesus, and all of a sudden they're not with Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, it says that Jesus looked at Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus looks at all these people and says, man, I came for you. I came to bless you. I came to save you. I came to forgive you, and you just won't have it. And so Jesus understands what it's like to be rejected and misunderstood. I was sitting at a traffic light this week, and I don't know how long they've been up, but these banners that are on the light poles entitled, I think they say Kindness Week. It has to do with the school system. And that happens every year. This time of year, there's Kindness Week and these banners. When I look at that, and I'm thinking, well, we need to be kind, but what that also reminded me, there's people all around us. You know why those are there? Because there are people all around you who feel rejected and misunderstood, and they're trying to remind us that those people are there. And Jesus goes, amen to that. As good as you look and as successful as you are, there's many people sitting in this room today, and I just want you to know, I don't know, but I just know that Jesus knows, and what I would say to you is this, is that he knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. You go on and follow Jesus through the neighborhood and just flip over a couple of pages to Mark chapter 8. And Jesus makes it very clear that he understands what it's like to face trouble ahead. Some of you here this morning, you're saying, I'm in the middle of the wind. Some of you are facing some difficulty. You know it's coming. It's coming physically, medically. You're facing some difficulty. Some of you are facing difficulty with a family member. You can see it coming. It's coming down the track. The conversation's already been planned. And so what we see when we follow Jesus through the neighborhood in verse 31 of Mark chapter 8, it says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man, listen to this is what he's facing, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So not only is Jesus looking down the road and he knows the cross is coming, just think that if you thought, hey, just 6 weeks from now or 6 months from now or a year from now, they're going to crucify me in front of the whole world. Would you get any sleep tonight? And Jesus is facing that, and his inner circle, Peter's in the inner circle, goes, well, that's wrong. Some of you are facing difficulty in the future, and the people around you, what you need to understand is they just don't get it. And some of you are going, I don't know if anybody understands. And I would say there's Jesus. Keep on flipping over in the book of Mark. You didn't know you were going to take a tour of the book of Mark today, did you? But in Mark chapter 14, we understand that Jesus understood what it was like to feel alone. I want you to think about that. There's some people sitting in this building this morning. You're surrounded by people, and you've never been more alone in your life. I was telling somebody this week, you know, as a pastor and dealing with lots of people, what I've learned is more people's stories, and become more aware that when we sit in places like this and people tune in from all over, there are people who are tuning in, there are people who are sitting in the building that feel so alone. And you would never tell anyone. Some of you are sitting with your family, with your friends, with your peers. But you've never felt more alone. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 14. It says they went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus is facing crucifixion, and it's just ahead of him. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John, that's his closest circle, along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He's with his circle, but he's still deeply distressed and troubled. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." And going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. If there's any way, Heavenly Father, Dad, if there's any way to escape, or is there another way other than the cross, I want to go that way. And he talks to his Heavenly Father. He says, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." I mean, do you get that Jesus is in a tough spot here? And it says that he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Simon, that is Peter, he said to Peter, "Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour?" This happens two more times. You ever been there? We don't say it like that because we're not about to be crucified tomorrow. But we say things like, "Man, you just don't get it." Matter of fact, sometimes we don't even say it, we just think it. But we're still surrounded by friends. We've still got family with us. We still got our friends with us. We still got our peers with us. But when we just are by ourselves, we just think, "Man, nobody gets it." And then there's Jesus. You see, one of the things you learn when you read the story here is that, and you see Jesus, I want you to know this today, is that when difficulty comes, he doesn't leave the scene. He doesn't abandon. He doesn't go for safe ground. He's always there. And in this building today, there are people who are misunderstood, rejected, alone. But Jesus suffered even more than that. He understood what it was like. This was going to hurt. When your friends don't stand with you in the hour of need. He says in Mark chapter 14, it says, going at once to Jesus, Judas said to him, "Rabbi," and kissed him, and the men seized Jesus and arrested him. And then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." And then it says in verse 50, "Then everyone deserted him and fled." You see, when you go through difficulty, sometimes you look around and go, "I had a circle, now I don't have a circle." You ever been there? I mean, they were with me, and now they're not. If you live long enough and you go through enough difficulty, some of you are nodding your head because you're about to give a witness right now. He's like, man, I was going through it. I was going through the divorce. I was going through the difficulty with my kids. I was going through the addiction. I was going through fill in the blank. And I had a circle. And then I didn't. And there's Jesus. When nobody understands, when nobody gets it. You read on in chapter 14, it says, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they did not find any. In verse 56, many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another, not made with hands. And even then, their testimony did not agree. Jesus would tell you today, I understand when people lie about you. Anybody here ever had anybody lie about them? You say, that's how I ended up with all the other issues. It started with a lie. You see, when you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood, you think, Jeff, what does all this mean? Today, as you walk through your neighborhood with your difficulty, sometimes we're tempted when we face difficulty to get mad at God or run off from God, right? We tend to stay in the place where all we do is ask questions. God, why is this happening to me, or why is this happening to this person I love? And we've talked about it. God's not afraid of your questions. But there's another thought. There's another thought that has to emerge when you follow Jesus through the neighborhood. And the thought is this. Is that when you follow Jesus through the neighborhood, you're going to eventually come to the cross. And when you come to the cross and you take a look at the cross, the thought that has to cross your mind, Jesus, it happened to you. Jesus, you know about pain. Jesus, you know about loss. Jesus, you know about mistreatment. Jesus, you know about rejection. Jesus, you know about being alone. Jesus, you know about death. And we can come to the conclusion in the midst of our difficulty when the wind strikes, there is Jesus. And all the time he's saying, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. And as he walks through the neighborhood, he looks at those who are going through their wind. As we read in Matthew 11, he says, and come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. One of the things that happens in difficulty is we get forgetful. We forget that Jesus is not just aware of our experience, he knows it personally. And when you're tempted to say, I don't think anybody gets it, there's Jesus. And we've been very honest. If you've been here for a few weeks, and I told you when we started, I hope you come back. When you go through difficulty, you don't always get the answer you want. Matter of fact, many times you don't get any answer. And when you go through difficulty, you don't get to the end of the journey in the neighborhood and go, oh. You haven't come to a conclusion today in the midst of your difficulty. But here's what we know when you walk with Jesus through the neighborhood. is that God knows. And God understands. And God is faithful. And one of the things that I think about when I look at the big picture of Scripture and God's story and Jesus walking through the neighborhood, that I look at people like John. John was in that inner circle. Some say he was the one closest to Jesus. Do you know what John saw? John saw Lazarus die. He heard about it. He saw his sisters weeping. He saw Jesus weep. John knew all about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, who was arrested. He was Jesus' front man, and Jesus didn't bail him out. And he was killed by a wicked king. And they all had questions. John saw all the difficulty that the Savior of the world went through. And when John had his opportunity to look back decades after it happened, decades after Jesus walked in the neighborhood, decades after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and returning to heaven, John wrote what you put on your wall. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. And he would go on to write, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Jesus is there. And John says, I'm just telling you, when you go through your difficulty, there's Jesus. Today, if you're in the middle of your when, you have a choice. You can look downward in despair. You can look ahead in fear. You can look up in hope. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. You walked in today and you thought nobody knew. Nobody understands. Nobody gets it. You're at the breaking point. You're at the quitting point. You're at the I can't take this anymore point. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. Let's pray together.